Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory. Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And I think that more swearing is occurring in the sewing room nowadays. We just had a little.
It's not. That wasn't swearing. It's just a. That was just.
Well,
a...
I swore.
Oh.
It was swearing.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it's called swearing.
It was just a questionable topic I was talking about.
No, you swore. You said a swear word.
Me?
Yes. Okay. Me? Anyway, well, I know my kids are hearing more of it because one of them got into bed with me the other day and just started saying. Bad words, like they were nice words, you know,
well,
like in my ear.
Zelda,
you know?
Thinks there's such a thing as a fart catcher, so.
That was all you. All right.
That was me.
Hey, so I had a question kind of for Mom, and I wasn't sure how this whole business worked, and I'm so excited about this podcast topic. So, and then, so Mom was talking to me like I was a dummy, and I was like, no, I just don't understand. So she won't talk to you all like you're dummies. She just does
I
that
didn't
to me.
Talk to
okay.
Her like she was a dummy.
You did. Okay. So I did a little live demonstration of, or I don't know if demonstration is the right word, but one of my live broadcast topics was about our Laura Star ironing system. And it was a little bit, what do I want to say? It was an expose on how I didn't know how it needed
disjointed.
To be cared for. I was like, oh no, we had been having a problem with it.
Right.
Okay. And it was whistling. And then I decided, okay, finally, I'm going to read the owner's manual or read the, you know, it's not a manual. It's like this fold out, like brochure type thing, you know, with all these pictures in it. And it's in like four languages. So I found the one that I could read. And then I was reading about it, and I learned that I needed to drain the boiler, and I drained the boiler, and it worked, and I was, like, so excited, and we still have a little problem with it, but I ordered a little replacement part, so anyway, we'll get into what those problems were. It'll kind of, I think, come up as we talk about the different types of irons today, but then as I was talking about why it's so cool that there's this boiler on it, I got some good questions in the live broadcast. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about sort of conventional steam irons. Is that a good word for
like the household
steam irons?
The one you can buy at the hardware store.
There
the,
you go.
The big box store, that
yeah,
kind of iron.
Yeah, okay, so yeah. Household steam iron, and then the gravity-fed irons,
okay.
And then what is this?
And then a chamber iron.
A chamber, is this what we call it? A chamber
iron?
Because
you have a chamber that boils the water.
Okay.
It makes the steam before it gets to the iron.
Okay, so we'll talk about those three types of irons and sort of the advantages and drawbacks and then some of the troubleshooting, you know, like things that you might get into. So let's just talk about, let's get that household steam iron out of the way. So steam is so wonderful, right, Mom? We do.
Yes.
Like, we do want a steam iron.
I like steam.
We like steam.
I like steam.
I
need steam.
I don't know if they sell an iron nowadays without a steam chamber. I mean, you don't have to use one, but everything I've seen, I mean, maybe the little travel irons, but it's like.
But they all have steam.
Yeah,
the
I don't.
The ones I don't think about.
I've seen.
Oh
some,
no, there's
they're
like
little itty
little
bitty ones.
Ones where they just have a
where it's just
pipe
hot.
That heats
yeah,
up and that's it. Yeah.
But I don't think that anyone is going to be like, "What's a steam
iron?" You know what we?
Iron?
What we need to
what?
Do for
what?
This episode is we need to take a picture of my mother's toy.
Well,
iron.
Okay, we're going to bring that up though. Those, you know, what irons used to be too. So this is, you know, you're seeing this iron. It's got a little place where you can pour water in, and
there's usually a fill line, which they ask you not to fill above that.
There you go.
And if you do, you'll know why.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. So there are varying price ranges for these irons.
Right.
I mean, you can get one for as little as like $19.99 probably. And then it goes up and up and up and up into $200, $400, you know, dollars. So people are often like, what the heck? You know.
You can buy one of those kinds of irons for $400.
I think so. So there are some higher end ones.
Sure, it doesn't have a steam chamber that it sits on.
No,
really.
Well, I mean, you know, people can charge whenever they want
for
things,
can.
Right?
That's true. There's yes, that's true.
Isn't that true? What a silly question.
Yes. What a ridiculous statement.
No, but
whatever you're willing to pay, they can charge. Go ahead.
This one I think is maybe a little more confusing because there is that wide range of price. Someone's like, why would I pay 70 instead of 20 or why would I
pay? Well, here's the other thing. There are people that don't even own an iron.
Oh, there are. Yeah.
It's like, you know, used to every household has a sewing machine, you know. Uh-huh. And every household had an iron and ironing board. Well, they all don't anymore.
Well, you know, I don't iron except most of the time, like 99.9% of my ironing is done while I'm sewing.
Right. It's done with your sewing. Right.
But then I don't generally make a ton of clothes that like where I launder and iron them each week. Like I don't do weekly ironing like, you know, we used to.
I don't think anybody does anymore. I really don't. Maybe
I mean,
I think,
you know, there are some people, you know, who do it, but like Derek, well, I don't know if I could be convinced to like iron all of his shirts because it's just not something I'm bad at laundry and I don't like to do laundry, but his shirts that he wears have enough poly in them that he doesn't have to iron his shirts, you know, and stuff like that. So anyway, we don't need to do that. So most of my ironing is done in the context of sewing in pressing things while I am constructing them. So anyway, we do have one of these steam irons up here. And we bought it. I bought it when the LauraStar wasn't working. And the LauraStar we're going to talk about, I mean, it's kind of a, you can either think of it as like a luxury or as a like commercial item, you know.
Right.
It is both of those things. It's very nice to own, and also it's something you'll find in like a dry cleaning store or something like
alteration
that.
Alteration shop.
It's a really it's a high quality piece of equipment. So these steam irons, let's just talk about how they work. Okay, tell me, you just did a really great job of
defining you're talking it. About like your household
steam. Yeah, that household steam iron.
So there is a water chamber in it, right?
Yep.
There's a sole plate, there's a heating element that heats that sole plate. And you know that because if you touch the sole plate, it will burn your hand. Or if it's too hot, it will burn whatever you are pressing also, right?
Yeah.
And it does have a regulator on it, mm-hmm. right? And you'll see an area where it goes into steam or out of steam. There's usually a couple buttons or dials.
So you might have two regulators, right? Like a...
Well, yes.
Okay.
Sometimes you have a heat plate and sometimes... But usually what you'll see is you'll have a regulator for heat and it goes into an area of steam. Mm-hmm. So like if you want the iron on cool, you cannot accomplish steam.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The iron has to be at a certain higher temperature in order to accomplish steam.
What temperature does it have to be at to accomplish steam?
I don't know if it's.
Well, I just mean the actual temperature.
I don't know. Oh, you mean. Oh, I assume it's 212 degrees Fahrenheit, right?
Like, yes.
I mean, right. But I don't know what the iron has to be. I mean, I don't know what, like, I mean, it doesn't say
no,
that.
No, I know. Right. I'm totally being a smartass. Right. Okay. So, yes, it is, it will be up in, like, the linen, cotton.
100 degrees centigrade,
100 degrees centigrade, which makes a lot of sense, right?
Yes,
right?
Because the Celsius centigrade scale
makes a lot of sense. Okay, so yeah,
Fahrenheit does not.
But you're right. So,
but it's a really neat name, Fahrenheit. Go ahead.
You'll see the dial where it's going to say like nylon, poly, silk, wool, cotton, linen, blah blah blah. And up there, you'll get into where it can make steam. Mm-hmm. And then you might have though also a steam regulator where you get like small, medium, large amounts of steam too.
Right, which is how much it allows to escape through the steam holes.
There you go.
Okay. And then you may also have a spritzer on it.
There you go.
Or a steam what do I want to say?
Button?
A shot. You can get a shot of steam, like a steam shooter. So there's steam that mm-hmm. comes out, you know, just because of the regulation, right?
Yeah.
The area you're in, and you've got it on that. And then you can sort of determine you want a high amount of steam or a low amount of steam.
Okay.
And then there is sometimes a button that lets you give a shot of steam.
Okay. I just want to say that the way Mom explained this, I've been using irons for a long time, like probably longer than a lot of people my age since you taught me to sew so young.
I mean, at all.
Well, yeah. Right. I just want to say that this is making a whole lot more sense to me about how these irons work, because you just said there's a spritzer. Okay, uh-huh. So that water that's in that chamber, it's remaining a liquid
right.
until it is allowed to mm-hmm. meet the soul plate.
That's right.
To become a vapor.
Right.
Okay.
So think about having a really hot pan on the mm-hmm. stove, like a frying pan. You've heated it up and it's empty.
Right.
And you throw
your water on
it.
There.
Right. You
yeah.
throw drops of water on it. What happens? Steam.
Yeah.
So that's what that kind of steam iron, that's how it works. The water is in a little chamber, and, you know, however you've decided, you know, how you've chosen to open it up or,
right.
you know, and when you take the iron and, you know, it doesn't steam when you have it sitting
on its butt.
A lot
of those
butt,
don't
right?
steam vertically. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to have the soul plate horizontal, right?
Right.
You have to have it parallel to the horizon.
Yeah.
Right. And that's because then the water is allowed to come out some little holes in there someplace, and it hits the soul plate,
so,
and that's how you get steam.
Yeah, so that's why the rest of your iron can be made of plastic.
Right.
Okay, because it's not getting that super-duper right. hot like the soul plate is. Okay, so like you said earlier, people went off air a little bit. The errors that can happen with these irons, or the frustrating things that can happen, are that you get the spitting
mm-hmm.
or you get the leakage,
right.
the water, you know.
So you get water coming out the bottom of your iron instead
whereas,
of steam.
See, yeah, right. whereas you wanted steam or
right.
you wanted nothing, you
right.
know, one or the other. So this is so important because you mentioned the fill line.
Right.
Okay. So these irons, you can't overfill them with this cooler water. And by cool, I just mean, you know, room temperature or less
right.
than that, you know, boiling point. And then expect that soul plate to keep up with heating the water fast
right.
enough. Okay. So that's why you will get the leakage sometimes if you haven't let the iron heat up enough.
Right. The iron needs to preheat just like you
it needs
to preheat the pan on the stove. Right.
And then if you are ironing a bunch and you keep touching that
mm-hmm.
iron to your room temperature fabric because you're ironing a lot, it's what
right.
you do, it's going to cool it down. Okay. So just it's
what's
like
what's gonna cool it down.
Like as you iron more. So if you left the iron alone and it was just able to get constant heat to it. Okay,
mm-hmm.
great. But as you keep, you know, ironing.
No, the soul plate doesn't cool down.
Well, it's
going to
cool down a little bit, don't you think? Just like when you open your oven and you put something cold in there?
No.
No?
It's like a frying pan. Think about it.
Yeah, but then you touch something room temperature to it, and the energy transfers.
Well, you're right.
It heats up
you're
the
right.
thing,
some
and the other
transfers.
Thing cools
but
down.
But the other thing that happens also is your ironing board will heat up as you use it.
Okay, but then you go to add more water, and then you don't let your iron heat up again.
Right.
Right. Okay. And then you try to use
it. Well, a lot of time you can use an iron. I mean, if it's heated,
yeah.
a lot of irons, you can add the water right then and it's heated and it will work.
Well,
but here's the deal.
Yeah.
Don't add water and then turn your iron right up and think you're safe.
Yeah.
Turn it up. You always should have a press cloth or you know, a test cloth or something on your iron because you don't know if water leaked over while you were putting it in, did it get in the wrong area? Or so that happens too.
And this seems to be where that higher quality comes in.
Yes.
You'll see the voltage. Okay.
Yes.
They have different voltage. I guess I can't say for sure, but
irons have an AC current.
Yes. So this is.
So they heat up. And then they stop.
Right.
And then they
heat up.
And then they stop.
See, this
right.
is what I'm talking about. Okay.
Yes.
So that's where you're getting this, you know, you don't have an even temperature all of the
yeah,
time.
Kind of like me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of like
hot, run hot,
ZD.
Run cold.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
up, down.
That's just what I wanted to point out is that's why sometimes you'll get the spitting. Like, it's not always the iron.
Now.
It's that you need
right.
to be
now,
patient.
Now, what will happen is when your iron starts to go bad, it just will spit and spit.
Okay,
and spit,
yes.
Spit.
And then your
okay.
iron can also go bad.
And so this is something that would come up all the time. I loved irons. I loved knowing about irons. We sold a lot of really neat irons. And they would last people different amounts of time. Right?
Yeah.
They might last somebody a year. They might last 2 years. So, yeah. They might last somebody 6 months.
Yeah.
Right? And they'd come in and they'd say, what's wrong with this? And I'd say, you used it up.
Yeah.
Right? Now, they used to repair irons.
Right.
I don't know that they do that anymore.
When we sold, when we've stopped selling some of the nicer irons that we're going to talk about
nicer,
later in the
less
show.
Nicer, less expensive irons.
Right.
Yes. And when we say less expensive, we're talking about $150 iron,
yeah,
maybe.
Okay, so we started selling the Oliso brand, mm-hmm, in the shop.
Nice iron.
Nice iron. And the other thing we really liked about it is it had a warranty. Mm-hmm. And so when I sold that iron to everybody, I said, please, please, please go register this iron.
Right.
Because if it goes out too early on you, you know, for whatever reason, they are going to replace it.
And that's the deal. They fix it.
They fix it.
Not the person who sold it to you, not the business that sold it to you, not the dealership, whatever. They don't get. They don't have the parts. They don't have
right.
The
it's not serviceable.
It has to go back to the factory.
That's right.
Okay.
So that is
so
kind
it will
of,
get mailed. You will mail it in, and it will get mailed back to you. Is what happens.
Right. Right. So that was why we agreed to sell that brand, mm-hmm, of iron, is because it was supported by the manufacturer.
But what I want to tell you here is, if you pay $100 or $200 for an iron, it will not last forever.
Yeah,
That's something in that price range, I hate to tell everybody this, is no longer a durable good.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to last that long.
I also think that the nature of these irons, like, they're trying to make them really convenient. They're trying to make them affordable.
Right.
And when you have all that heat going on, it's going to degrade the parts, mm-hmm, okay, of the iron. It just is.
It also has to do with what kind of water is someone putting into it. Read your directions.
You never know.
You never know.
You do
everybody
not know.
Goes, oh, I use, you know, distilled water.
I and use water from a spring that I had to walk 30 miles uphill.
And you look at the directions and it says, do not use distilled water. Yeah,
please only use tap water.
So you need to look and see what it says.
Yes, read what it says. Because funnily enough, some of those cheaper irons, it says to use distilled.
Yes.
And then on our $1,600 ironing system over here, it says only tap water. Only use tap water. So that's just something.
But it also has its own resin.
Right. We'll talk. And then you buy the really expensive resin crystals. Right. Yeah.
Probably if you used still water, you wouldn't have to buy the resin. Who knows?
But I think that's really important. Now, the Oliso, they are the, if you don't know who they are, they're the people of the iron that pops up, uh-huh, and pops down.
It has like little feet on it.
And actually, we had one of those in the shop. And we did use it a lot, and, mm-hmm, we used it for classes because we didn't trust people with the Lorestar iron. So we'd put the Lorestar away. We'd let them use the ironing board, but we gave them the Oliso.
And they would burn it up every single class.
Well, no, they wouldn't.
Every single class, people would burn without the Oliso. The Oliso had little feet that popped up.
That's okay, let me finish my sentence before you finish it. So we thought we had figured it out, okay, to buy the iron that pops up because people kept leaving the iron down on the ironing board. And you're not supposed to prop the Oliso up on its end. So then what would people do? They'd prop it up on its end. Yep.
But no, every class, someone would burn up an ironing board. I mean, no matter how many teachers
you had.
Without fail. No matter what kind of talk you had ahead of time. No matter if you had, you know, a Teflon pad there that they could set it on. No matter what. People would burn it up.
Okay.
I don't know.
So,
I guess people aren't used to irons.
I think that people get out of sorts when they're not at their own place too, maybe, or something, or, you know, that can happen as well. But the Oliso, since it can remain horizontal, I think that that is one reason that it did a good job of steaming nicely. However, I mean, I have heard people say, I bought this iron and it spit on me. So I don't know. Right. You know, but I was surprised at how long it was lasting us at the shop, actually.
And again,
did a good job.
You really need to read your owner's manual. Every iron can be a little bit different, and a different usage, a different water, a different way. They may tell you, heat it up before you put the water in or put the water in when it's cold. You need to read your owner's manual.
That's a good point.
If all else fails, read the manual.
It may tell you to add the water cold or not, you know, so that's a good point. But so we're going to take a little break and we're going to come back and talk about irons that produce and distribute steam in a completely different way from those household irons.
Hey, Mal.
Hey, Mom.
I heard you were easy.
Oh, no.
What does that mean?
No, it means what you really heard was, well, Mallory, your easy tea looks so good on you.
Oh, yes. I should have known that it was something about something you made.
Like you said, you're getting into your golden years. Sometimes, you know, mishearing things, it happens.
No, you're the one that mishears things. I know this. You make lapel pins about it.
Okay, so I am currently wearing an EZT, and I wear them all the time. The EZT is a semi-fitted short sleeve t-shirt made out of a woven fabric, and you draft the EZT to fit your measurements by taking the EZT class.
Well, how do I take this class?
It's an online class that you can watch anytime on sewhere.com. To purchase the class, go to sewhere.com/EZT. That's just EASYT.
Is this on my computer?
It's on your computer. It's on your phone. It's on your iPad. The class is divided up into short, easily consumable segments, some of which you may not ever need to watch ever again, but some of which you might want to revisit. So you have the ability to mark lessons as completed and also to star lessons so you can go back and revisit the ones that are most important to you.
And I can vouch, Mallory's EZT is a lot easier than Mallory is.
Once again, go to sewhere.com/EZT to begin your pattern drafting journey.
Sewing out loud.
Okay, this conversation really reminds me of really snooty coffee makers.
Oh.
Okay, and if you're a snooty coffee maker, more power to you, okay? But there are people who believe that, like, drip coffee makers are the devil, and they only do, like, the pour over, or they only do the, like, it's kind of like how these irons work. Okay. So
I grew up with percolators.
Okay. And so you are about to hear this. And if you are a person who's familiar with, like, and we're supporting like a local coffee shop right now during the time of the pandemic. We're buying some real expensive locally roasted coffee. It's amazing. But yeah, I went in there one time before this and I heard one of their employees be like, I'll never use one of those drip coffee makers again. And I was like, all right. So I am a...
You know you can throw coffee in a pot of boiling water and then just drain it.
Yeah,
right?
That's a way to do it.
Yep,
okay,
yep.
So yes. I mean, that's what a French press is, kind of. Anyway.
Well, yeah, it is.
So,
yeah.
And that's what we do now. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. So we're going to talk about the gravity feed irons. And then what are we calling that again? What'd you call it? The boiler? The reservoir?
I call it, yeah, iron with a reservoir,
okay,
or a boiler. I mean, it has a reservoir with water,
right,
and you heat it up.
Yes. Both of these irons, they're in their own separate category from the household one because the water isn't, like, right on top of the
sole plate. It's not contained in the iron.
In the thing you hold in your hand, okay? Yeah, it's not contained there. So that's what, you know, kind of sets these two irons apart. And you will find them in the more industrial settings, in the costume shops, in the alterations places, etc. So a gravity feed iron, and I just want to point out that Cynthia from Red Threaded, she just touted this as something she loves to have in her workshop, where there's a large volume of things being made. It has a reservoir that is high up, mm-hmm, okay? So it's like
so
hung
it
on
looks,
a pole.
It looks like an IV
ceiling
setup.
Yep.
Okay, so there's a tall pole,
uh-huh,
and there's a container on a hook, and they used to be big glass bottles, you know.
Right.
Now they're plastic. Or I have also seen something that looks almost like an IV bag.
Yeah.
Like a really heavy, vinyl-y, plasticky thing.
Well,
you
and
know.
So there's no,
there's no heat
up there.
There's no heat.
Okay, there's no heat up
no
there.
There's no heat in that container that's up,
yeah,
on that pole.
But
so there's a heat and a little tube, like,
uh-huh,
a little hose,
yep,
that comes down and, you know, goes into the iron.
Right.
Right.
So then, as you are ironing and you ask for your shots of steam, or I was reading some blog posts, and I guess I don't want to say, like, definitively on here, someone was saying that theirs regulates, I don't know if it has a sensor or something,
mm-hmm,
but the water comes down bit by bit,
yes,
to then be heated on the sole plate into steam.
Right. And therefore,
mm-hmm,
you know, it's a more sophisticated mechanism and you don't get the spitting.
You don't have like a bunch of liquid right there.
I broke one of these in the costume shop one time and I'm trying to remember how I broke it.
It was really weird.
I can't remember what happened. I wish I could remember what happened that I broke it. And it was, you know, it was at that time. Now we're talking like 25 years ago or something. And, you know, I took it. I felt so guilty. I took it and sent it away to have them fix it. And the repair was like $150. Now, it was like a $300 or $400 iron. But I can't remember how. It was like a real fluke that the way it happened. But now, these irons, I have never run into any of these irons, the gravity fed or the chamber iron, that you ever set up on its butt. It was, you always sit it down, you know, on its sole plate.
Yes.
And you usually have some sort of silicone, not silicone.
Yeah. Or Teflon or silicone might be right.
Silicone, right? Yeah. Yeah, silicone. Okay. You know, some sort of pad or something, or some sort of rack that you sit it down on. I can remember actually having like a fire brick that we would sit it down on.
Okay. I went and helped out in a costume shop in college or like high school at some point. It was MU's costume shop, so I didn't go to MU. I went to Stevens, if you're familiar with the Columbia area. But I went and helped out there one time, and this woman said to me, she was like, now this iron, it's a steam iron, right? So you don't set it up on its butt. And I was like, yes, ma'am. You know, so.
Yeah, and that actually can hurt it, and yes. I don't remember how or what. Well, it kinks off the feet for one thing.
Right,
you know.
These will have their cord sometimes. It's not like this on ours.
The cord
ours.
Will be like high on the handle a lot of times.
Right, right. So that can come, you know, right in.
Now, the other thing, and I think we should have said this when we were describing that the container is up high and like on an IV type setup or whatever, a drip type setup. There's also usually a resin that you purchase to put in there.
Great, yeah.
That's a filtering resin.
Okay.
Okay.
These
it takes out the impurities of whatever water you're using.
Okay, this I believe is the ironing system that will have your biggest reservoir. Okay.
Probably, yes. So you aren't having to go fill.
That's right.
Fill. Yes.
So it will have in my short research here, someone said they have a 2-gallon Which is really okay. So we're going. If you go from that household iron, which gonna have like a cup or something, you know, and then you go to a 2-gallon, it's going to decrease the amount of times you need to stop and refill.
Yes.
Okay.
Now the thing about the gravity iron, the gravity fill, is I do not believe you can use it as a steamer. Like you can't hold it.
Oh,
upright.
You can't do like vertical steam.
I don't. Well. Okay. You know. And since I've used one, I'm sure there's
things
new technology.
Have changed.
Yeah,
okay.
You know, that's what happens when you get old. Like,
I know.
You're like, well, in my day.
But at least you know what somebody's talking about.
Let's put it this way. The ones I used, you could not steam. You could not hold it upright and steam with it. You couldn't shoot steam across the room.
Okay. And that is really important.
Well, it was to me.
Yes. ZD.
I like to shoot steam.
Gets very upset when she cannot do vertical steam.
Yes, I do.
So I remember at one point getting some iron and you were like, what? You can't do vertical steam with this? And you were, it's kind of like if you set
Why
ZD,
buy it?
It's like if you set ZD up with
a sewing
machine
without
a knee lift.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So anyway, well, I can't cursory research here. I can't find if you can do vertical steam, but. Who knows?
And maybe you can now.
Yeah.
Okay, but what I'm saying is my experience with, I've probably experienced on maybe I would say 3 to 5 different ones of a gravity fed.
Right.
And you could, you know, there was no holding it vertically and steaming with
it. Well, ZD must have this. And so let's talk about the ironing system that we have here.
It can also be used as a steamer.
Yes. And we have a funny story about using it as a steamer, right?
Do we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Look at it. It's the red.
Oh.
Okay. So anyway, moving on. All right. ZD, I think it's a funny story. Maybe you don't think it's funny. Maybe
wasn't
you're just
funny
like, whatever.
Turn my iron pink.
I think
anyway.
It's kind of pretty. It looks nice.
I have an ombre iron.
You do. You have an ombre iron. I bet people, that's like going to be the one they come out with.
I have a $2,000 iron that's supposed to be white. That's not.
That's not. Yeah. No. Okay. So this Lorestar ironing system that we have. Lorestar is a brand. I think they're Swedish or Swiss. One or the other.
A lot of Swedish and Swiss people. Yeah. Like Europro. I think right. That was a Swiss company.
And I do have to say that really what I should have done when we started having problems with this iron was call the helpline because they called me back. Two people called me back, and I haven't gotten called them back yet, but they were really nice. They're like, hey, this is Shane. I think I know what your problem is. We get you fixed up. You know, I really wish I should have called the helpline immediately. I don't know why I was kind of like not doing that. I don't know if I felt like I didn't have the time, but they got back to me really fast, and now I'm going to get back to them. But anyway, this system, it's a whole thing. Like when you buy this.
Well, this is actually a board system.
Yes,
too.
A board system. So that's what I'm trying to explain is the ironing board has a boiler attached at the bottom. Okay. It's like, you know, seated within there. And then there is a hose that goes up to the handheld iron. Okay.
Right.
And the water, you add it to a tank. Okay. You actually pour it. The tank is removable. But you're really just supposed to pour into the tank. Mm-hmm. You can carry the tank, but then, like, when you fill it with water, it will start dripping out, okay? So it's removable in order to, like, do maintenance and whatnot. But you should really just pour it in with, like, a water bottle. And you use normal water, right, tap water. And you buy the crystal.
It does have a resin filter.
Yes,
right?
It has the crystals that you buy. And I can't remember how long those are supposed to last you. But that's in your owner's manual, too. And then the water goes through those crystals, it gets filtered, and it goes down into a boiler. And that is where that heating element, there's a heating element down there, okay, where it's heating the water, and then it's feeding it up through the iron. And then you do have the iron with the sole plate.
This is more like your espresso machine, your
Well, I don't really know how espresso works.
No,
but
that's not what I wanted to say, but anyway. Your steam, you know, the one that steams, is that what an espresso machine?
Well,
it's the one that steams the water.
I don't know, but yeah, there's like all these complicated coffee things out there, right? Right? You're seeing the connection now.
All you have to do is shake the milk and get some bubbles in it and heat it up. But go ahead.
Mom doesn't like coffee also, just so you know.
I don't even like to smell coffee.
Yeah,
okay?
She's like, ugh. Like if I.
The only thing I like about coffee is the different colors it is. But
good to know.
But then I have to smell it.
Like I can't put coffee in a dessert. And serve it to ZD.
Yeah, you can. Just don't give it to me.
There
you
go. That's what I mean. And serve it to ZD. It's like putting her in front of a machine without any left.
But okay, it's very politically like not acceptable to not like coffee. So I don't tell people this.
Yeah, because
people are like, oh, I need my coffee. Coffee is life, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, my God, it tastes like dirt. I mean, you know, I just don't even say anything.
There you go. Well, that's good. You let other people have their joy.
I try not to take their joy, even though I'm sitting there gagging on the smell of their coffee. I just don't say anything.
Well, I do drink coffee in case you still want to like
somebody. Everybody in my family drinks coffee.
In case you want to like one of the hosts of this podcast.
Everyone in my family drinks coffee. I don't drink tea either. I think I don't like tannins, right?
Yeah, right. You don't really drink wine either.
I don't like wine either.
Oh, you don't like wine?
It's okay.
Okay, okay.
Some of it.
Okay.
I don't like dark wine. I like light wine.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
All right.
Okay.
So anyway, there's a boiler. So this is the iron that has two heating elements. The other two, really, the sole plate is what's getting hot. But this one, the steam is getting hot, and then it's going to the iron. Okay, so like.
And your sole plate's hot.
So you got these two heating elements.
So you have hot water and a hot sole plate.
Okay, the other thing about this system is the ironing board has a fan. And the fan can, like, suck or blow. Okay? You can buy an ironing board with a fan separately. Mm-hmm. Like, you can get an ironing board that, like, plugs in and it will suck or blow for you. Okay? Mm-hmm. But this is all in one thing. So we're talking about, like, okay, there's a boiling heating element, there's a fan motor, and there's this iron with its heating, you know, element on the sole plate. So you can do that. And if you've ever...
So this fan is attached, like, under the board.
Yep.
So that it can suck air up from under the board.
Okay.
Like through the board and under and out.
So it can blow upwards or it can suck downwards. So it'll actually like hold your thing in place. Because it's like
you can actually put a piece of fabric on it and have it blow upwards, and your fabric will like fly in the air.
So and you can hold the iron just above the ironing board, and you can like steam your thing in midair, sort of like it's like a circus trick, okay? And if you see the Laura Starr person do their spiel, it's wonderful.
I'm sure there's a YouTube. I can't imagine there's not.
But I just remember the guy demoing it to us, and he's like, you know, we got this fan here because you don't want to have to push too hard because that's how you stretch a, you know, a L shirt out to an XL, you know. And it was great.
It is great for things like blocking knitting and things like that very much.
Okay. Yeah. So I got – this brings me to the question that I got in the live broadcast. Mm-hmm. And what I was speaking about is the iron that you hold – it's lighter weight than your household irons because it doesn't have, like, a whole cup or three quarters of a cup of water in it. Now, it still is heavy, like an iron is heavy. But the way they've engineered this is it can heat things very quickly. And then the fan lets things cool very quickly. Mm-hmm. And so what my mommy taught me from the very beginning about ironing is that heat relaxes the fibers. So if you're trying to get a wrinkle out and you can heat the wrinkle and allow the fibers to relax and then cool it very quickly, it is now set as a non-wrinkle, okay? It's flat. You can also iron in wrinkles on accident.
Right.
In this case.
But you can iron something, and if you move it around when it's still hot. So you can press something while it's still hot, and then you move it around before it cools. You have not let it set.
That's right.
Okay.
So the pressure of an iron can be important, okay? We just did that Sewing Luxuries episode where we talked about the press.
Well, and there's a difference between a press and
that's
an iron.
That's right.
Totally different.
So when you're trying to get a crease in something or you're trying to fuse a large swath of like interfacing to a large area, that pressure is indeed very helpful. So I hope I explain this. I think Sam is the one who asked the question.
Well, the other thing is, you know, a press, basically you use on a few natural fibers and that's it. You can't use a press on anything that will melt.
Yeah. So this is a little bit more of a finer instrument, you know, this iron. And I mean, there are times when I, you know, apply pressure to it, but the power, the wonderful thing about this system is the quick heating and then the quick cooling.
Well, the other thing about the iron not being so heavy is you don't
get tired. Yes.
You don't fatigue.
Yes.
Right? And then the other thing about the iron not being too heavy is you can hold it up vertically and
use it
as a steamer.
This thing is the most bitchin' steamer.
So, you know, I did a lot of wedding gowns in my day, a lot of, you know, special occasion gowns and things that you cannot iron.
Yes.
You know, bridal veils, all you can do is steam them. That's
right.
All you can do. Well, you can try and iron them, kind of. I can't tell you how many veils I made an hour before someone's wedding because, you know.
Somebody ironed the veil.
Oh, iron your veil for you. Yeah, well, that doesn't work. They're little nylon threads, everybody.
Right.
So now, there is something right under this big, big system with the iron, and it, too, has a chamber, and you will see it. And it usually looks like something like sort of like a big box that somewhere
the iron sits on.
Iron sits on, and it, you know, you'll see like a hose type thing that comes from this big box chamber, you know, on into the iron, and of course then it plugs in somewhere, and then you'll see like a screw lid on it someplace where you add water to big box chamber.
Yeah.
So that chamber, the water is not in the iron.
Mm-hmm.
It's in that chamber, and it's led through a hose.
It's steamed
in that chamber and sent over.
So there really shouldn't be any, like, liquid water in the iron. It's steam that's getting sent there.
Right.
Okay, so that is the really awesome thing. And, Laura Starr, I don't want to get into this too much because I don't know all of the justification behind it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this iron doesn't have different temperature settings. It has that Teflon sole plate, and they say that you can use this same temperature on every mm-hmm. fabric, you know. And so it's...
Because it's the steam that does the
work. It's the steam that does the work, right.
That's another reason it doesn't need to be heavy.
That's right. Yeah. So, but I liked that question about mm-hmm. the heaviness. And then yeah. I have done...
Well, and... Going back to my mother's iron.
Yeah, that's what I want to go back to, too. Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. So, well, here. I think I can segue into it. I've done a little bit of reading lately that has brought me into contact with, like, how laundry used to be done. And one of the things was Bill Bryson's At Home, which actually is not a very good book. Sorry, Bill. And then another was a French housekeeping book called Home Sweet Maison, which is also kind of a silly book and just, like, really idealizes, like, French culture and makes it this whole homogenous thing.
Makes you think that... Life was wonderful before indoor plumbing.
Well, no, it's like French culture is the best, but only the French culture that's happened in the past like 175 years, and then everyone should do it just like this, and it's the best, and everybody should have monogrammed towels. Okay, so it's just kind of funny. It was cute to read. And then the other one is Julie Andrews's memoirs, okay? So they talk about the irons. Okay, so originally irons were big clumps of iron, right? I mean, they were shaped into the shape we, you know nowadays. And they were heated over fire, okay?
Well, you know, how I saw those irons used, correct, yeah. was they were put on the cook's top stove.
Oh, so you,
so,
okay.
So, a wood stove mm-hmm. you used to cook on. And what it was is it had a heating chamber in it, right? You know, and it... The top of it was iron, cast iron.
And we had a cast iron stove. You do. Your wood stove.
Well, no, it didn't look like that. It looked more like a kitchen stove.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
So it had like an oven on mm-hmm. one side. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it was a big box. And on top it was it was probably all cast iron. But, you know, it was a big box, say a big rectangular looking box. And it might have had like, you know, a thing on the back on it.
Right.
That you also, what do you call that when it comes up on the back and has a shelf up there, you know,
whatever.
if you ever seen an old kitchen cooking stove,
right.
Okay. And so you built a fire in the side box, mm-hmm. okay? And you could also build a fire under these, like, they were like portals. Like,
right.
You could open them up on top, and those were the burners.
Mm-hmm.
You could build fires under there, and you could build a fire in the side. So the fire in the side heated the kitchen and the oven, which was, you know, sort of under those burners, but, you know, did not, believe me, it was not an even cooking oven, okay?
Well,
But it had a lot of you know, I mean, for what it was rather efficient. Okay, so when I saw those little cast iron irons used, so they were a little cast iron iron, and they usually had a wooden handle on them because you didn't want that part to get hot. Yet, everyone would always use a cloth.
Good idea.
Or some sort of pot holder to pick them up. So you usually had two or three.
Yeah.
So one was on that stove.
Uh-huh.
So it was, you know, the cast iron to cast iron, basically,
right.
with a fire going under it. And it was heating up while you were using the other one.
Yes.
And then you switched.
Okay.
Okay. So you started out really hot
uh-huh.
until it, you know, cooled down.
Stop working.
Now, those suckers were heavy.
And, okay one reason that you would want a heavy iron like that, too, is not just for the weight, but for that conductive property.
Right.
Okay. So from the cooking standpoint, so I really like using cast iron in the kitchen. However, it's not the most responsive material. It will hold on to heat. So if you want to cool down your cast iron, you can be a little SOL, and I don't mean sewing out loud, because it won't cool down as fast as stainless steel.
Right.
So stainless steel will heat up, and then it will respond to the heating element better. So cast iron's really good when you want it to stay hot for as long as possible, and more cast iron will stay hot for longer. So that's another – it's not just that people were like, oh, give me a heavy iron.
Right.
You know what
was used to hold the heat.
To hold the heat.
Now, the other thing that they did is they didn't have steam.
Right.
Right? So what they did is they would sprinkle water
mm-hmm.
onto the garment. Now, most of the things that they were ironing were cotton.
Yeah.
Okay?
I
You know, I mean, they had, you know, silk, maybe. I don't know. Man, what would you have done with silk in those days? I'd have been afraid to put that iron on it. But I'm sure they
used... That's why laundry was really expensive.
I'm sure they used a press cloth. But most people who are using these probably never get to see silk. But anyway...
Well, it wasn't their silk, right? Yeah, the laundress
but anyway,
was...
They would
they
would sprinkle water onto the...
Yes.
And then put that high... And that was their steam.
That was the steam.
That's how they said it. You know,
so something else that I just want to bring up here is a lot of times people would have to lay out sheets and things onto hedges to let them dry. And it was somebody's job to watch the laundry because things would get stolen. Mm-hmm. So they would have to they would have to have somebody watch the sheets and everything.
So if you've ever been to the Biltmore, right?
Which that is also featured in Bill Bryson's terrible book.
Oh, poor Bill. they had a laundry room that was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
All these different presses and everything. And then they had these big, huge racks, okay, that they would hang the sheets on to dry.
Uh-huh.
And there were blowers, like, in, you know, they came out of the wall. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
They were on rollers. They basically had a big, huge laundry.
Right.
You know, built in the Biltmore.
Built in the Biltmore.
Yes. So, but, you know, I was probably the one person that spent more time in that area than anybody.
No, it's really fascinating.
Look at this. And, you know, they had the ringer washer, and then they had this washer, and then they had the washboards, and then they had... You know what else was weird about the Biltmore?
Well...
Let me tell you. I mean, it was really an amazing place, okay? So, they had indoor plumbing.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and they had bathrooms.
Right.
And they had, like, suites in the bath, you know, they had a bathroom for each bedroom.
Yeah.
I don't know how many bedrooms, lots, guys, like 20.
And, like, two people live there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
but
besides
had...
the 50 servants.
Well,
but
right,
anyway,
exactly.
Whatever. I have a book downstairs.
No,
on.
The servants lived in the village that he made, right? Like, or did
no,
they
I
live
don't
in
think
the
so.
House?
No, they lived in the house. The village was basically only there to build the Biltmore, I think.
I see.
Anyway. Nah, but I don't know.
Whatever.
I don't remember all the history, but
it's weird.
It's very fascinating. But I look at my husband and I go, so how long did it take him to figure out that they could bring water to the sink also? So they've got bathtubs with running water.
Right.
Right. But they had wash basins.
Yeah.
I thought they didn't realize you could have a sink.
That's very interesting.
It was just so they had dry sinks with wash basins and pitchers.
Well,
but their bathtub had water coming to it. I just thought
was
it was
different
funny.
Though too back then.
Yeah,
you know,
not a lot of it went on.
Right,
anyway,
exactly.
Why do you think they all wore hats?
Yeah, so people weren't doing all the stuff at sinks that you know we
you
do
don't think
nowadays.
They brush their teeth every day.
Well,
yeah.
They didn't brush their teeth though in the way that we
right,
did.
Right.
You know,
but I still thought it was funny that
sure.
they had water coming to the bathtub,
uh-huh.
but not this. There wasn't a sink with.
Oh yeah.
You
oh,
know,
yeah.
I just thought it was funny.
Well, it did make.
But there
me...
was a sink in the kitchen.
Yes.
And it had water coming to it. It was just funny.
In these books that they're everything I listened to, everything I did was like an audio book. But I was like, man, I am thankful for my washer and my dryer. Even though sometimes they aren't perfect, you know. But anyway.
Well, how about the stove you cook on?
Oh,
you don't have to go
I
out
know.
And chop wood in order
I know.
To. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Or maybe I should just like convert to just cooking everything. Over a pit, you know,
well, you
one or the
do,
other.
Yeah,
just keep
that.
A fire going, mm-hmm. cook some stuff by, you know, everything's the same temperature.
That's right.
Deal
your
with
iron,
it.
Your food.
I cooked it over a fire. Deal with it. Okay.
Well, so, and that, you know, you can iron something with the bottom of a flat pan.
You can.
You can
yes,
do that.
You can
heat it up and you can, yeah, good luck.
Well, but that is interesting. The kitchen and the laundry and the sewing and all of that, they do sort of weave together sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, working with food is, in a sense, working
well,
with fibers.
And it's just
you know?
Like, you know, there used to be outdoor kitchens
yeah.
in the summertime because you didn't want to heat up the house. But in the winter,
right.
you wanted the kitchen inside because that helped heat the house.
Exactly. So, okay, well, we hope that that helped you understand sort of the differences between these three types of irons. And, you know, one thing we didn't cover are, like, steamers, but we're not going to get into that.
Now, a steamer, all a steamer is a chamber.
Hey, you're missing out on a whole podcast episode if you say
no. No, but a steamer is just a chamber that heats up the water. Okay, guys?
Yep.
And it has a hose, and the steam comes out the hose.
Comes out a thing.
And that's it. That's it.
Laura Star does make an iron / steamer combo that's kind of cool that we have owned before. So that's
what's the one we have? What's the pink one?
It's the pink one. No, it's an iron too.
Oh, okay.
So it's a steamer.
Oh, yeah, it is. I forgot.
Like steam comes out, but like also the iron is hot.
Right.
So that's kind of an interesting thing there. All right. Well, we hope that you liked our little tangent about the Biltmore. And I'm sorry if I've read other Bill Bryson books that I enjoyed, but this one I did not finish. I just didn't finish it.
Bill, you got it. Make Mallory happy.
And I read some reviews, and other people agreed with me. So anyway, all right.
Everybody has a bad day.
I know. A bad book that they researched for, eight years.
Probably bled his heart into it.
Well, I think he'd had some other real successful books before this one, so I don't feel too bad for him. It's not like he was hurting and then I think he's okay. I think Bill's okay.
You think he can still pay for lunch?
Yeah, I think he can still pay for his English little home that he lives in that he talked about in the book or whatever. All right. Y'all have a great day. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.